news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison. Well, let's get started with a look at a few headlines from around the organization this week. With the 2019 National Convention nearly 1 month away, Purdue University's College of Agriculture would like to invite you to tour their agricultural campus while you're in the state. The university is located about an hour north of Indianapolis in West Lafayette, Indiana, and is currently celebrating its sesquicentennial. For national FFA visitors, free scheduled tours are available Tuesday through Friday, October 29th through November 1st. And during the hour-long tours, you can see research classrooms and student spaces, plus other campus highlights like the statue of Neil Armstrong or the bell tower in the center of campus. Of course, all tours are guided by current Purdue Ag students. If you have any questions or if you want to schedule a tour, just email Amy Jo Jones at jones176@purdue.edu. And if you're looking for ways to interact with students, work with dynamic teammates, and give back to FFA and learn lifelong career skills, all in the nation's capital, well, consider being a National FFA Conference Facilitator, Director, or Education Coordinator. Those applications for the 2020 Washington Leadership Conference positions comes to a close on November 15th. You can submit them now online at FFA.org. Of course, send any questions to WLC@FFA.org. And finally, don't miss the last Regional Development Conference of the year, a free hands-on training opportunity for alumni members, state leaders, advisors, and of course, many more. The final 2019 conference will be held in Lexington, Kentucky. That'll be November 15th and 16th. Registration is open at ffa.org/go-to-RDC through November 3rd. So, of course, get registered today. Well, feeding cattle, baling hay, and building fence is just a few of the responsibilities at the Bartee Cattle Company in Washington, Oklahoma. That's where Zach Tague is learning the ins and the outs of the industry. Let's hear his story.
I'm Zach Tague, and this is my Oklahoma FFA story. I work for Bartee Cattle Company and Dadkins Farms. During the winter months, we're feeding cows. When the weather gets bad, we're putting alfalfa hay out. In the summer, cutting, baling, raking hay. Year-round, building fence, making sure everything stays up to date. And on my own, I've got my own small herd. Through my dad and through the people that I work with, they're all trying to help me constantly better my herd so that in the future, I can build and have something like this. I show cattle. I got an Angus steer. His name is Bo Cephas. He was a character. It was very hard to break, but you know, that's better. I like hard-headed cows, you know. You break them, teach them who's boss, and after that, once they figure it out, they know. You know, from feeding your cows to knowing what they need to just taking care of them, breaking them, and working with them, it's a chore, and sometimes it can get old. But when you go to the show ring, when you're competing with other people, when you're working with things, and seeing the fruits of your labor, it's always rewarding for me. I like to work the hair, blow them out, and I like the fellowship with other kids showing. I've met a lot of people at the conferences and camps that I know where I'm at. So we talk and about how everyone's doing and things like that. We will always have connections where we're at. You have to meet everyone you can. You want to interact with people, and people interact with you, and you'll build friendships that from your freshman year that when I was a freshman, I made friends that I'm still very close with and I keep in touch with and I'll be going to college with. Well, here in Washington, everybody knows everybody, and we do things together on the basics. Like, we play sports together, we're in other classes together, we just do things all the time. This year in football, we had a great run, we made it to the state championship. I believe that through FFA, it's helped me to be a better leader, a better captain, to help out my fellow teammates, and just to get them to do regular things, to keep them motivated, keep everyone pushing hard, firing on all cylinders to help the team to be better. Your parents can teach you so many things. They can instill in you right and wrong and how to act. But when you're around other kids that are just great people, that they've been taught the same things, and the advisors and other just counselors around you that go to these FFA events, you just build off of that. Everyone becomes a better person in the FFA.
And now we're off to the Wolverine State. That's where FFA students are making salsa from their school garden at the Montague High School in Michigan. ABC 13 On Your Side in Grand Rapids was on the scene.
We're at Montague High, and this week we caught up with some students at Montague,
right.
The FFA.
Yes, the FFA, also known as the Future Farmers of America. And what these kids do, I think, is really cool. They actually have a food sciences class where they actually grow produce from the seeds, then take that produce, as you see right through here, and then they actually sell that to a local business, which then puts that right back into the community. So take a listen as to what the kids said earlier this week when I had a chance to swing by the high school.
FFA is an organization based on agriculture, but it's also largely leadership-based. Mm-hmm. You can compete and do different things along those lines, and we compete at different levels. So this summer, with this project in particular, we raised these tomatoes from seeds, and okay. then we were given, each bed was entrusted to an individual who took care of them this summer. And then once we harvest them in August, we then sold them to our partner Picados, which is a restaurant over in Whitehall, mm-hmm. who they use those in their restaurant.
Now, the kids took me through a little bit of a tomato pruning class. Some of the pruning, or the tomatoes are right here. And here's the salsa that they made.
Oh, that's gonna be good stuff.
Well, that's going to bring us to our first break, but of course, don't go anywhere. We're off to the Golden State next, right here on Rural Radio 147. Well, welcome back to the show. Now, over the past few weeks, FFA students have taken a very active and visible role at the recent Kern County Fair. KERO 23 ABC News in Bakersfield, California, caught up with a number of the members to share the ups and the downs of competing at the big event.
Well, FFA students presenting their animals at the Kern County Fair.
23 ABC's Daniela Garrido joins us live in studio with more on the scholarship recipients. Daniela?
32 FFA students received scholarships at the Kern County Fair this year, and I spoke with two students from North High's FFA who received $500 scholarships. They shared what it meant to them beyond the projects that they presented at the fair.
I didn't think that I was going to get the scholarship.
These are the seven North High FFA students that received scholarships from the Friends of the Kern County Fair Foundation.
They are giving these kids a chance to be successful and pursue higher education.
For some students, college can be a daunting thought.
I kind of felt relieved because I'm the middle child of five, and it's already rough as it is trying to get all of the kids to go to college money-wise.
But these students say participating in FFA has not only helped them choose a career.
Eventually, I want to have a ranch with goats and chickens and cows and pigs and the whole nine yards so that I can have my own little grocery store and sell all my products in there. And I love to cook, so I want my own restaurant too. So that would be ideal.
I think FFA's helped a lot. Before I joined FFA, I was really afraid of animals. And I think that that's going to help me a lot going into the ocean, researching stuff on animals.
So. But as seniors, FFA has given them the tools to succeed.
This scholarship is going to help me because it's going to help pay for books. Also, the profit from my project is going to go towards college, which will be around $1,500. So that's going to be a big help.
Their advisor hopes the money will continue to push them to their next step in life.
I hope that they take this opportunity with the scholarship to really look at what they want to do with their life and apply it in the most effective way so that they can be successful in whatever path that they choose to pursue.
The total amount of money given in scholarships was $20,000, and these FFA students could potentially receive even more money for their college fund depending on how much their projects do at the fair. Now, it's rare to see a senior competing at the Kern County Fair for the first time, but one senior FFA student from Garces not only took on the challenge of preparing his pigs for the competition, but he took on the financial responsibility all on his own.
I'd say probably close to 2,500, if not 3,000.
That is how much Dane Costamagna has had to raise on his own to compete with his pigs at the Kern County Fair, and their names speak for his experience.
My pigs are named Paycheck and Bacon. My light cross is Paycheck, and then my AOB is Bacon, because we're going to take him home and we're going to make bacon out of him.
Although Dane is a senior at Garces, it is his first time competing at the fair.
Nervous? I'm nervous. I'm not gonna lie. I'm nervous.
but he is passionate, even taking up a summer job, working 6 to 12 hour days with cattle in order to raise the funds to afford just an entry into the competition.
It's been really neat to see a kid really have to work for what they have, and from start to finish, watching him work for it and having to find a job and to be able to buy his pigs and care for them and then bring him here to the fair.
And although the days of preparing have been long,
I wish I could talk to the judges before they go in. I wish I could tell them his story. I think it kind of makes a little bit of a difference that, you know, he worked hard for his project, and I hope it pays off for him. I hope he sees all of his hard work kind of come to surface in the ring.
The experience of doing it on his own has been rewarding in itself.
It just goes to show like how much really goes into it and what a lot of the parents sacrifice for other people. And so to be able to take a step back and kind of say, I did this on my own, and you can't take that away from me now. So it's a really good feeling.
It was a bittersweet day at the Kern County Fair for the students presenting at the swine live auction. They showed off their pigs in return for the highest bid price, but along with the paycheck comes a very sudden goodbye.
The worst part's probably just not being able to like see your pig again, but the best part's getting the money.
The live auction is the end of the road for the FFA pig projects at the Kern County Fair.
I was trying to hold back the tears at the first time I got out of the show ring over in the pig barn this year.
For the Keverline family, showing their pigs at the Kern County Fair is a tradition.
I showed here when I was a student in high school, and so being able to do that with my own children and my FFA kids has been really fulfilling and kind of just like that full circle feeling of this is what it's like to participate in these programs.
And the months of breeding their pig has come down to this moment.
It's nice to see that all of your hard work did amount to something. It's definitely emotional because we have like that bond that we've created over the past few months together working. But it's nice to see that all the hard work that you've done is going into something good with buyer number 9.
And as emotional as it may be for the students to part ways, the live auction is all part of the purpose for these FFA projects.
The buyer that comes in anonymously and purchases the majority of the livestock at this auction donates it back to our local food banks. And so you may be like as a personally, you know, emotional, like I really love that pig. I really, you know, had a connection. That was my animal. But then looking at the bigger picture of being able to provide food to people.
And not only do they get to keep the memories, but also the money.
Definitely putting a lot of it away to college, because since I'm a senior, I need to make sure I'm saving everything that I can. But it's been a little bit for fun stuff.
The grand champion pig at the live auction weighed 273 pounds and was sold for $87 a pound. Janelle Garrido, 23 ABC News, connecting you.
Well, congratulations to all of those competitors. And stay tuned. With convention just around the corner, we'll meet one of this year's National Star finalists straight ahead as FFA Today continues. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And now we begin a new series leading up to this month's National FFA Convention and Expo. And for that, we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off Farm Income podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to this year's National Star finalist, beginning with Hayden Powell, a star finalist in agribusiness.
Joining me today is Haddon Powell, and he is coming to us from the University of Georgia, where he is studying landscape architecture. He's a former chapter officer, and he is a nominee for the FFA's National Star Award in Agribusiness for 2019. Haddon, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
You bet. I'm looking forward to speaking with you. And when you are not at the University of Georgia, when you're at home, are you in Bleckley County, right?
Yes, sir. I actually got the chance to go to school in a different county.
Okay.
Kind of live in a rural area. So I went to school in Bleckley County, and then I live in a neighboring county called Lawrence County.
Okay.
It was about a 30-minute drive to school every day.
Oh, wow. Okay. And at some point, you got involved with the FFA. How long have you been involved with the FFA?
So I've been with the FFA since the 8th grade. So what's that, 5 years or so?
Okay.
I'm getting old here. I joined in the 8th grade, and lots of people in my class got involved with it. I guess it's just the rural kind of school system.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the FFA offers to us, kind of just goes with our lifestyle and say, it's kind of just a thing everybody did. And so I did it too. And so now I'm here.
That is awesome. So you got started and it's just kind of what everybody did, but you must have found a pathway that suited you while you were there.
I did. Within the FFA, we have CDEs, career development events. And so I got involved in two. One was actually floral design. And then I did, of course, like tree ID and plant ID and that kind of stuff with that one. And then I did proficiency, which was based off of my SAE.
Okay.
So I got involved with both of those all 4 or 5 years since I've been there.
Very good. Very good. And while you were doing that, you decided to become an officer as well. What led you to being an officer?
So I did the officer my very first year, second year. Being with FFA, that was my 9th grade year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just kind of felt led to do it. And so it was a good leadership opportunity. And I got to meet a lot of people, too, within it.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. So what have you been doing?
So my supervised agriculture experience is actually diversified horticulture. So my journey, I got involved with being outside and liking the outdoors with my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
I've always enjoyed being outside and designing kind of just really anything. Within my SAE, I do I have my own business, and we specialize in design work with landscapes, interiors, and floral design. So with the landscapes and interiors, we do both residential and commercial stuff. And then we have floral designs. We do big events and weddings and stuff like that.
Okay, really interesting. So this was something that you started with Grandma, or Grandma was just kind of the inspiration behind this?
Oh, no. She definitely got me started with it. Definitely while I'm still pursuing landscape architecture, I enjoy being outside and designing, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
I still enjoy both the other things, interior and floral, but my heart is really with landscape. I don't know why.
When did this all begin for you? When did you start this business?
So my business actually began in 2015.
Okay.
And so since then, it's been ups and downs, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of learning experiences, which is very helpful.
So there's kind of two distinct things here. I mean, one is working outside and designing landscapes. The other is working inside, right, with the floral arrangements?
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay. So how did you, I guess, how did you combine those two, or how did you start a business doing each of those? They sound like separate businesses, but you found a way to put them together.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So with the landscape and interior design, they're kind of go hand in hand, same kind of principles and ideas. You're just using different materials and stuff like that. I don't do too much interior design stuff. I mean, I do have a good bit of it, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more landscape design work with that. With a floral design, so a lot of where I got into that was with growing stuff in the landscape that you make and then turn around and use.
Okay.
With floral arrangements and stuff like that. So.
All right. So you were being efficient. You were using the things you were growing and leveraging that into a whole nother business.
Absolutely.
Very good. Okay. Now, how big a jobs will you do when it comes to landscaping now? And what kind of equipment do you need to be able to pull those off?
So landscaping now, my landscape side is relatively not as large as maybe the floral design side, but it has definitely grown up. Equipment-wise, it usually comes down to renting it rather than just purchasing it, because right now, being in school and stuff like that, I'm not as active with the landscape side due to not being home and, you know. So right now, I've just been, you know, renting equipment when I needed it, or if I knew somebody who has it, just borrowing it.
Okay. Over time, what kind of awards through the FFA has this led you to?
So when I first started, like I said earlier, I did the CDE floral design. And so I did that my first year, and it didn't turn out well. I got last place. But I didn't lose hope.
Okay.
I turned around and did it again the next year.
Yeah.
And I won state with it.
Awesome.
So with that CDE, there's not a national level. So state's really the highest you can get in that CDE. And so then I stuck with proficiency. And so this year I actually won state with my proficiency. And then so I'll have the chance to compete at nationals with it too. Other awards, we have a local fair here. And a lot of times, a lot of the FFA chapters around will get together and do like a contest. Lots of tree ID and landscape ID and stuff like that. awards throughout that kind of stuff, exhibiting booths and stuff in the fair.
So you've had a lot of success along the way, and then along comes the nomination. You find out you're one of the four finalists for the National Star in agribusiness. How does that feel?
Well, I was kind of confused when I was told the information. I was like, me out of everybody? But I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I'm excited to.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations to you. I think it's wonderful to get nominated. And I mean, to be four, there's well over 600,000 FFA students in the entire country. They've boiled it down to 16 star finalists, and you're one of those 16. That's pretty amazing.
I know. It's kind of crazy to think about, but.
Well, now, how has this, the CDEs and the SAE and being involved in landscape design, floral design and landscape architecture, I should say, how has this influenced what you're studying in college now?
So, like I said, I've always loved being outside, and so I hate tests. I hate sitting in a classroom and listening to somebody speak all day, because that's not how I learned.
Right.
I don't know. I've always liked dealing with design work and being outside, so I kind of put the two together and found landscape architecture.
Okay.
I also have an interest in architecture itself, so maybe going back and combining the two one day.
Okay.
That's along the two more years after these four, so I don't know about that. I really enjoy being outside, and so it kind of led me to landscape, and kind of went around and looked at landscape companies in my area to see what they did, and then that's when I got involved with landscape in my business, and I really enjoyed it. Not too much on maybe installing and maintenance, but more of the design work, drawing it off for contractors or so to implement. So that's kind of how I got to there. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not, but I do enjoy it overall.
Well, for students who are like you, who they learn better kind of kinesthetically, they're out there working with their hands and doing things like that, but they have to spend time in a classroom. What advice do you have for them in terms of finding their way into a program like the FFA that can help them learn in the style that they're most accustomed to?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with everybody learns differently, and sometimes that's not really implemented in the classroom. So being with FFA, they teach in so many different ways, or if you have an ag class within your high school or middle school, they teach in so many different ways for people like me to understand what's going on, whether it be hands-on or actually going out into the field and doing it yourself, or just watching somebody else do it, or learning through a book. There's so many different ways they teach, so I feel like it helps people like myself or whoever else it is out there who's not like the ordinary teaching, watching somebody, listening to somebody.
Right.
FFA definitely helps out there. Definitely go and even look and see, like, if you have an interest in something, go out and shadow somebody who does that occupation that you're maybe interested in before you even get to high school, I would say, because I definitely kind of knew what I wanted to do entering high school. So it kind of led me to the courses and elective stuff I took to kind of build up to my college, which would then lead to the degree I wanted to get. So definitely go ahead and kind of look out for the degree you want to get, and then kind of build off of that going through high school and college.
Awesome. Great advice, Haddon. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us today, and best of luck to you at the National Convention.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, stay tuned throughout the next few weeks as we meet even more of those star finalists. Well, that'll do it for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. You can send us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org or give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-1147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.